it's always good to be able to give God the glory and the praise and the honor for what He's done in our hearts, in our lives. Psalms chapter 104. When you get there, go ahead and stand with me. Psalms chapter 104. Title of the message tonight is going to be, Let's Give God the Glory. Let's give God the glory. And we need to praise Him. We need to be reminded that we ought to praise Him for everything that He does in our lives, in the good and in the bad. And as the girl sang, in the ups and in the downs, by myself or in a crowd, we shouldn't have to have other people around us to be able to praise God for what He's done in our lives. Psalms 104. Look at verse number 1. It says, Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covers Thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds His chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh His angels spirits, His ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. At Thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of Thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys, to a place which Thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. Look down to verse number 33. It says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. There's going to come a day where you may not have the cognitive ability to be able to praise God. So you need to make sure that you're praising God now while you're able, now while you have your being. Verse 34, my meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. Let the wicked be no more. Bless Thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Lord, we thank You for what You've done in our hearts, what You've done in our lives. Lord, in reality, we could spend the rest of the evening just praising You for the things that You've done in our lives. I've got so many testimonies just of what You've done this year and just how You've blessed. Every one of us can detail how we've grown spiritually. We've got several that have already completed the Bible through this year and many more that are on track to complete it. We thank You so much, Lord, for what You do in our lives. Help us, Lord, as we continue to grow, as we get ready to finish up this year and wind it down with the holidays coming. It's not time to let up. It's not time to slow down. It's time to dig in and press on. And Lord, help us to be busy about Your business and about Your service. But Lord, as we take some time tonight, help us, Lord, to be able to give You the honor, the glory, and the praise for what You do and for how You bless. May we always be in remembrance of Your goodness and Your grace. We'll praise You. We'll thank You. We love You. We ask these things, and let me pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. In the previous chapter, Psalms 103, the chapter starts out in verse 1, says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And then Psalms 104 begins with the same phrase, Bless the Lord, O my soul. And we've got to make sure that in our lives we are doing everything we can and every single opportunity that God gives us to be able to bless God for the things that He has done for us. You see, so many times we are asking for God to bless us, and we are asking for certain prayers, and we ask for certain things, but many times as we're praying and asking for certain things, we overlook and we neglect to recognize, we fail to realize the blessings that God already gives us. We fail to see, just because He didn't answer something specifically like we asked, we fail to see the 5 or 10 or 15 different things that He already did for us that day. Understand that every day when you wake up, that's a blessing from God. God didn't have to give you breath. every day when you put your feet on the floor and you are able to stand up out of your bed and walk, that is no small feat. That is a blessing from an Almighty God. God gives you breath in your lungs. God gives you vision in your eyes. God gives you legs that are able to be mobilized and walk. God gives you hands that you're able to pick things up with. And far too often, the things that God gives us to be able to use to glorify Him, we use them to continue in sin rather than giving God the glory for the things that He's done in our lives. Here, the Psalm chapter 104, we won't read all the verses, but this Psalm specifically calls our attention and calls attention to all that are living upon the earth. It calls our attention and our responsibility toward our Creator. It helps us to recognize all that He has done, not just for us, but for everyone around us and for this world that we live in. There's about 8 things that we're going to look at here tonight, just real quick, I promise. Yes, you can get that in writing. Verse number 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. I love the phrase that is used there. I think, Brother Anthony, you may have mentioned this verse in Sunday school. Here, instead of saying, Thou art great, He says, Thou art very great. Because there's none like our God. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Here, I want you to notice that as we give God the glory tonight, we ought to revel in God's greatness. We ought to revel, or we ought to bask ourselves in the greatness of God. When was the last time you just stepped back and you sat and you just thought about God's greatness? You thought about God's vastness, the fact that He is the creator of the universe, the fact that He spoke the world into existence, the fact that He covers the universe with the span of His hands, your Bible says in the book of Isaiah. This is how great our God is. The earth, the Bible says, is His footstool. Anything that He wants to do, He can do. And He spoke everything into existence. Why did He do this for us? But have you ever thought about, in the midst of speaking everything into existence, He said, let there be light, let there be fowls of the air, let there be fish in the sea. He spoke everything to existence. But when it came to you and me, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that God took the dust of the earth and He formed us with His hand. You ever think about that? That God spoke everything into existence, but God took the time to make you exactly like you are. God took the time to form you exactly like He wanted you to be. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that I am fearfully and wonderfully made because God took the time to form us the way He wanted us to be. He formed me the way that I am. So if you don't like the way I look, take it up with God. Amen. He formed you the way that you are. He took the time. And far too often we complain because we don't match up to some stereotypical idea of what we ought to be like or what the world says we should be at this point in our lives. Because we don't meet a stereotype, we want to gripe and complain to God when in all reality, God took and formed us the way that we are. This is part of God's greatness. God could have spoken you into existence. God could have said, let there be Nick Wright. But God took the time to form him. He took the time to mold you and to shape you. And by the way, He's still taking the time to do that. As a child of God, we are the clay and He is the potter. And we are sitting on the wheel and He is molding us and He is shaping us and He is conforming us to the image of His Son. He doesn't have to do that, but He chooses to. This is part of His greatness. And we ought to revel in His greatness. God, as verse 1 says, is clothed with honor and with majesty. So why is it that we as a child of God treat God's work as second hand? Why is it that we as a child of God, if God is clothed in honor and God is clothed in majesty, why is it we give our second best or second rate effort to the things of God when we ought to be giving Him our first? Amen. He desires our first. He deserves our first. We ought to revel here in God's greatness. Secondly, I want you to notice there is a revealing of God's garments here in verse 2. He says, who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. Here, God is dressed in the clouds of light. And God is draped in curtains. Brother Anthony had mentioned about God being light this morning and how he is surrounded by clouds and he is surrounded by darkness. And the Bible says that he would dwell in the thick darkness. And because God is light, according to 1 John chapter number 4, we understand that being the fact that God is light, that we cannot look upon him and be able to live according to what the Bible says. Many a times, he presents himself through the darkness and the dark things in our lives. Why? So that we can get close to his glory. Anytime that you study in your Bible from the tabernacle to the temple, anytime God would come down and God would meet with his people, the Shekinah glory would come down, would rest on the Ark of the Covenant, his glory would fill the house, and people would be driven out of the temple because he wasn't going to share his glory with anybody. Here there's a revealing of God's garments. He's clothed in light. He's clothed in his goodness. He's clothed in his glory and his grace. Verse number 3. Not only should we revel in God's greatness, not only do we see a revealing of God's garments, but here we see a report on God's goings. Verse 3, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters? Who maketh the clouds his chariot? Who walketh upon the wings of the wind? Here his chambers are on the waters. Here his chariot is in the air. And here his control is over the world. God doesn't have to have anything in this world to govern him at all. God's above every bit of it. You see, when you're going through the storm, understand that your God is above that storm. He's in control of that storm. And he's not going to let anything happen to you in your life that he's not going to allow you to have a way out of it. He's going to give you things that will draw you closer to him. Here, his chambers are on the waters. His chariot is in the air. He's above the clouds, amen. He walketh upon the wings of the wind. His control is over this world. Then I want you to notice in verse 4, we see that there are different representatives of God's goodness. Here the Bible says, who maketh his angels spirits. Here there are invisible spirits that we call angels. And the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that there are times in our lives where we will entertain angels unaware. Brother Brandon, you shared a testimony just, I believe it was last week, about taking and being a blessing to a guy. And you may never see that guy again, but you may never know that could have been an angel. And God uses different people in our lives to test our faith and to test whether or not we're actually going to follow through with what God's commanded us to do. Here, his angels are spirits. We know there are invisible spirits known as angels, but then it says also in verse number 4, his ministers of flaming fire. There are visible spirits that God has. These are representatives of God's goodness. Not only do the angels testify of his goodness, but his ministers testify of the goodness of God. Listen, we ought to be ministers for the glory of God. This isn't just talking about preachers, although preachers can be a flaming fire, although we are told to lift up our voice like a trumpet and to shout to the high heaven, amen. But we should all be a minister of the goodness of God. Ministers, the Bible says, we are a flaming fire, meaning there's something that's burning on the inside of you, and you've just got to share it with somebody. You just got to tell somebody the goodness of God. You got to share with somebody what God has done in your life. You got to share with somebody what you read in the Word of God, and you got to tell others about the good things that God's done for you. I wonder how many of us have gone through our lives, and God has blessed us in an extra special way, and you just had to make a phone call and brag on Jesus for a minute. Send out a text to a friend and say, I just got to praise the Lord for what God's done in a situation like this. We've all been there. Maybe it wasn't calling somebody. Maybe it wasn't telling somebody. Maybe it was just looking over at your spouse and saying, hey, I got to tell you what God did. Been praying for this. Been working towards this. Nobody else knew about it. I didn't even tell you. But this is what God did. I'm going to be able to testify. Why? Because when God does something in your life, it'll be a fire inside your bones. Amen. Just like Jeremiah said, that he wanted to quit, but it was a fire that was burning on the inside, and he could not quit. He had to share it with others. Here we see that we are representatives of God's goodness. In verses 6 and 7, we see that there is a removal of God's grace, but there's also a restoration of God's grace. Here, the Bible says, thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. Verse 8, they go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast founded for them. Here, this is in reference, by testimony, it's in reference to testifying of the great flood or the deluge that had taken place back in Genesis 7 through 9. Where we had seen the flood taking it rain. We know it rained for 40 days and for 40 nights. And we know that the water was upon the land for all the different times. And then Noah and his family were there in the ark. And that God had destroyed all of mankind. Everything that He had created because of their wickedness. And there may come times in our lives where it seems like God's grace, His time of grace and His period of grace has been removed and His judgment is being poured out in our lives. But understand that when God removes that grace, He will always restore that grace. Because He wasn't quite done with Noah yet and with his family. No, the Bible says right here, thou coverest it with the deep was with the garment, the water stood above the mountains. But in verse 7 it says, at thy rebuke they fled. That the voice of thy thunder, they hasted away. Here, the waters receded immediately when God told it to. That means the rain stopped when God told the rain to stop. That means the flood waters receded when God told them to recede. That means that the earth was ready and available and being able to be used again when God was good and ready for it to be used. When the time of judgment had passed. You see, there's going to come some times in your life where there's going to be some times of judgment. There's going to be some times where you're in the refiner's fire. There's going to be some times where you're on the potter's wheel and God is molding you and God is working you over and God is removing some things from your life. But then there's going to be some periods of extended grace in your life as well. And God's going to show that grace. God's going to show His mighty power in your life. Then I want you to notice in verse number 9 we see a restraint. And we also see God's guideline. Here, thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. Here, God confines the waters. He had a specific place for them that He had founded for them at the end of verse number 8. And then He set a bound that they wouldn't pass over. Remember the promise that God had made to Noah that He would never flood the earth again? As a matter of fact, the very next thing that He's going to do, He's going to rain hell fire on this earth. The Bible says that in 1 Peter. We'll get to that this next year when we teach through it. But there, we know that there's going to be a judgment that does come, but God won't destroy the world with the flood again. We understand. There's a bound that He set. There's restraint. He confines the waters. But there's also His guideline here. He controls the elements. The Bible says that they turned not again to cover the earth. Meaning that the elements of this world and the things that are in this world will not go against their Creator. You understand that we as human beings are the only ones that God gave free will to? And we're the only ones that struggle at praising God? How many of you like springtime? One of the things many people like about springtime is the chirping of the birds in the morning. How many of you like that? I hate it. We have to shoot every one of them birds. They get on that post right outside the window. Right on their front porch. They get on that rail. Tweet, 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 tweet. They get annoying. But what are they doing? They're praising God. They're praising God. Absolutely. I was just kidding. Everything has a new life. Spring is great. It's a new beginning, a new opportunity. There's excitement that's in the air. But when it comes to that, listen, all of creation will praise God. When the thunders roar, they're praising God. When the rain pours down, it is in obedience to an almighty God. When there's lightnings, it's beauty in God's creation. Everything that happens in the world today, in nature, is an effect of animals and elements praising God. But we as human beings, we tend to mess that up, don't we? We tend to mess it up. We tend to complain. Like I just did about the birds, amen? Well, that old rooster that wakes you up at 5 o'clock in the morning, praise God. We complain. What? But nature's just trying to praise God. You know, that'll be a reminder to us that, hey, we ought to get up and we ought to praise God. We ought to praise God. God controls everything in this world. Verses 10 through 30, we're not going to read all those verses, but here we see a recognition of God's gentleness. Here, the Bible says in verse 10, He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills. So here He waters the hills. He causes the grass to grow. He does all these different things. We see the cycle of life. Why does it happen? Because God ordained it. Because God ordained it. This is a recognition of God's gentleness. Now listen, God can rain down a flood, and God can rain down His judgment, and God can destroy everything at the sound of His voice if He wanted to. But also, God can provide life at the sound of His voice. The Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and He turneth it whithersoever He will. Proverbs 23. Means that God controls absolutely everything. Many times we give the devil far too much credit for things that happen in our lives. Are you with me? We want to blame the devil for this, want to blame the devil for that. Realize the devil is not omniscient. He's not all-knowing like God. The devil is not omnipotent, meaning he is not all-powerful like your God. As a matter of fact, he is also not omnipresent, meaning the devil's not everywhere at the same time, but your God is. See, we give the devil far too much credit for all the different things that happen, when in reality, God's the one that allows those things to happen. I think when Job was going through his trials, I don't think Job was blaming the devil for that. As a matter of fact, he praised God. He said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Many of us say we want to claim Job's faith in a trial, but none of us want to go through the trial that Job went through. There's a faith that he earned by the way that he lived. Here we see a recognition of God's gentleness. Here God controls nature, and God also is concerned for the life that he has breathed into all of not just the human kingdom, but animal kingdom as well. Then lastly, I want you to notice, look at verse number 31. The Bible says, "The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in His works." Here, if we're going to give God the glory, we need to be willing to rejoice in God's glory. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. Listen, we're all going to pass. We're all going to come to an expiration date in our lives. But God's glory will never pass. As a matter of fact, when we spend eternity in heaven, we're going to be giving God the glory. You ever thought about this? Those that die without Christ and they are doomed and destined for an eternal damnation in hell, you realize they're still going to have to give God glory for the things that He's done in their lives? They won't be able to get saved. They'll be in hell. But even in the midst of hell, they have to give God the glory, because His glory will endure forever. And the Bible says, "The Lord shall rejoice in His works." God's glory is eternal. And here, if God is going to rejoice in His works, then we as God's people ought to be glad about the works that He is doing in our lives. Think about this. How does God work? God works through people. The Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He has chosen the weak things to confound the mighty. He has chosen the base things to confound the wise. So He doesn't always choose the things that we think are the most noble or the most worthy. No, God chooses those that are a little lesser. Amen? Sometimes God chooses the misfits, like me. Amen? Sometimes God will choose those that are really undeserving. Why? Because then we are more apt to give God the glory. So if God's going to, listen, if the Bible says the Lord shall rejoice in His works are us, then shouldn't we, as His works, also rejoice in our God? Now think about that. If God is going to rejoice in us, and God looks at our lives, and God remembers where we were when He saved us, and He sees where we're at today, and God is able to rejoice in our lives, and God is able to rejoice for the fact that we are growing closer to Him than we ever have been, then we ought to be able to rejoice in our God for the works that He does in our lives as well. Here the psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." In the previous chapter, he said, "Let me not forget all His benefits." God's been good to us. We need to be willing to show God the glory and praise for what He's done in our lives. Here, the psalmist said in verse 33, we read it a moment ago, he says, "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live." Have you ever made a commitment like that? That you were going to sing God's praises for the rest of your life? If you haven't, you should. Here, "I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." Then he says, "My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord." He was able to say this because he recognized the fact that God loved him and God cared for him and God wanted to do all these things in his life. Many times in spite of him. You understand that God blesses your life not because of how good you are. Sometimes God blesses your life in spite of you. I know in my life God's blessed me many times in spite of me. I make mistakes, you make mistakes, we all make mistakes. But we ought to make a purpose in our lives that we're going to sing praise to God. We ought to make it a purpose in our life that we're going to meditate on the Word of God. We ought to make it a purpose in our life that we're going to give God the glory for everything that He's done in our lives. Stand with me with heads bowed, with eyes closed. Make it a point to give God the glory for everything that He's done in our lives. I don't know where you're at spiritually. I would hope that you're growing. That's my prayer for everybody in this room, is that you're growing closer to the Lord every day. But how many of you with heads bowed, with eyes closed, how many of you with a simple raised hand would be willing to say, "I think I can praise God a little bit more in my life"? Would you raise your hand? Hands all over the room. Thank you for your honesty. You can put them down. My hand was up as well. We can all do a better job at giving God the glory and praise for what He's done. So let's make a commitment to do just that. Let's finish this year strong, giving God the praise for what He's done in our lives. And let's start next year even stronger, praising God and being vocal. Listen, the world is vocal about what they believe. Why can't we as Christians be vocal about our God? Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for what You